going to give you a meeting tomorrow night again at 8 o'clock. If you're free, we'd love to see you back. And then, of course, on Thursday night as well, at the same time of 8 o'clock, if you're free these two nights, then we'd love to see you again under the sound of the gospel. If you're here tonight for the first time, then it's good to see you. We give you a special welcome, and we trust that the Lord will bless you just for making the effort and making the sacrifice of your time just to join us tonight. And so we do pray that the Lord will bless us tonight, and that the Lord will bless in these incoming nights of this week. Tomorrow night and Thursday night at 8 o'clock, in God's will, there'll be another meeting for the preaching of the gospel. Now, just for the information of the Christians, just to say that Tam Dempsey, who's normally with us, he's normally the sound engineer when Stuart's not here, he's down the front working the tape recorder. His father died last night, or sometime yesterday, I think it was. They hadn't really had much contact with his father for some time, but he got word last night that his father had passed away, and that's the reason Tam's not here tonight. He's with the family trying to make arrangements for the funeral and so on. So I'm sure many of you have come to know Tam over the past 6 weeks or so. Many of you were at his baptism just a few weeks ago, and I'm sure that you'll remember him at this time and really pray that the Lord will sustain him, and the Lord will really use him at this time to speak to other members of his family. Brother Sandy at the back took him down to see his brother last night in Kilmarnock, and Sandy was amazed that even in the midst of the sadness of the loss of the father, that Tam was really witnessing to his brother and to the others in the home, just to tell them just the wonderful things that the Lord had done in his life, and how the Lord was sustaining him even at that time of sadness and that time of loss. So please remember Tam, because the devil's always busy, and he's there alone, just the only Christian in the family, and well, we know what these circumstances are like, and we just pray that the Lord will really keep him this time, and the Lord will use him to be a blessing to other members of the family. Now, it's good to see you. We just want to read just a few words tonight. Again, it's Mark's Gospel in chapter 12 this time. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. And once again, we're just going to lift a few words and use that as a sort of springboard. Mark chapter 12, and it's verse 37. And it's just the last few words of the verse. It says, and this is really a sort of summary, I suppose, of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. It says, and the common people heard him gladly. The common people. The ordinary people. The people that were conscious of their need. It was them that heard him gladly. That's what we're going to read, and we're just going to use that little verse, and we're just going to move on from there and think about some of the ordinary people that not only heard the words of the Lord Jesus, but responded and received blessing. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he said that he had come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And you'll discover as you read the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and as we've been reading it through Mark's Gospel in these last 6.5 weeks, we've noticed that the religious people were always sort of in the background. And they were there with their snide remarks. They were there with their carping criticism. They were there with their pointed accusations. And as far as the self-righteous religious people of the day was concerned, oh, they listened to the Lord Jesus, but they didn't listen with gladness. They didn't listen with open ears and with open hearts. They were simply there to catch him in his words, to trip him up in his expressions. They were there to criticize him, to pull him down. But the people whose ears were open to the Lord, the people that heard his word and acted upon it, were just the ordinary people. Just the common 5/8. Just the people that had no pretense of being anything else, but people in dire, desperate need. And I'm glad about that tonight. Because the guy that's standing before you is just one of the common people. Nothing special about this guy here. Just brought up in a common council house in 41 Morven Avenue, Kilmarnock. But praise God, just as an ordinary wee boy, in an ordinary home, I heard about the Saviour. I heard about his love. I heard about his compassion. I heard about his death on the cross for poor sinners. And just as an ordinary wee boy of 9 years of age, I trusted him to be my Saviour. I received not only the word, but I received Christ gladly into my heart, and I was saved. saved, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. My friend, I wonder tonight, do you have that assurance? Are you saved tonight? We were just mentioning to someone in the cafe earlier on today that there's only two classes of people. People are either saved or they're lost. Now, where are you tonight? Are you among the saved? Those that have heard the word of the gospel, those that have heard the word of the Lord and have received it. And they've received not only the word, but they've received Christ. And they're saved forever. My friend, I'm praying that before this meeting's finished, that everyone down this side of the hall and everyone down this side will be saved. My friend, I tell you, if you're lost, still lost tonight, if you're still in your sins tonight, I wouldn't change positions with you for all the money in the world and all the popularity in the world and all the power in the world. My friend, I would never ever change positions with you if you're still in your sins. But my friend, I'm just here to plead with you tonight that there's a Savior that loves you. There's one in heaven that cares for you, cared so much that he went to a cross to die for you, to shed his blood that you might be saved. And tonight he longs that you would come to him and put your trust in him and be saved. Saved for time and saved for all eternity by trusting in the Lord Jesus. My friend, I want you to just think of individuals tonight, just some of the ordinary people that came to the Lord Jesus, that heard them and put their faith in him and were blessed by him. And my friend, everyone that hears the word of Christ and everyone that exercises faith in him receives a blessing. And there wasn't a single soul that came to the Lord Jesus in the right spirit and with the right attitude of faith that went away empty-handed. My friend, everyone that came in faith was blessed. Everyone that came in faith had their need met. My friend, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith tonight, I want to tell you, your need will be met. Your need will be met. There was a wee girl and she was dead and Christ gave her life. There was a man that was diseased and Christ gave him healing. There was a man that was defiled and Christ gave him cleansing. There was a man that was distressed and Christ gave him peace. There was a woman that was despised and Christ became her friend. My friend, I would think as I look over the audience that every one of us could fit ourselves into one of these categories of individuals. And if the Lord Jesus Christ could meet the need of all these ordinary people in his day, I praise God, he can meet all the needs of the ordinary people in the meeting tonight. We looked at the story some time ago in Mark's Gospel chapter 5 about a little girl that was dead. She was just an ordinary girl. There was nothing special about her. She was just 12 years of age and suddenly she had been taken by an illness and she had died. Oh, the sadness. Oh, the tragedy. Oh, the sense of loss. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? It's a terrible thing when it really takes hold of the ages. But it just seems to be so much more terrible when it takes hold of the young. I don't know how you felt when you have listened to the headlines throughout the day. Heard about these two aircraft that crashed overhead of the German-Swiss border this afternoon. One of them was filled with a whole host of Russian children. And there they were, possibly the first time in an aircraft. Probably the first time out of their home city, never mind their home country. And just in a moment they're gone. Young boys and girls ushered out into eternity. Oh, the cruelty of death. You see, death's no respecter of persons, is it? You know, a teacher one day was trying to speak about the subject of death to a class, and she said, you know, when do people die? And a wee boy put up his hand, and he says, 100. There are people that die when they're 100. There's not very many. You know, most of us will be dead a long time before we reach 100. There's no respecter of persons. It just comes so suddenly, doesn't it? And so swiftly, and so cruelly, and so tragically, and people are snatched away, one by one. Oh, the cruelty of death. Here's a wee girl of 12. She was beyond the reach, wasn't she? She was beyond the reach of her parents. Oh, what would her parents have done to bring her back? Her parents would have paid every penny that they could have if they could only have brought her back, but they couldn't. And they would have been down on their knees and they would have prayed and prayed and prayed till they were hoarse just to bring her back, but they couldn't. She was beyond reach, she was beyond hope, she had gone, she'd gone over the boundary into eternity, and nothing could bring her back. My friend, I want to tell you, once you go over the bounds into eternity, there's nothing will bring you back. My friend, once we pass over the boundary line into eternity, we'll either be in heaven and hell, and there'll be no changing of our destinations once we're there. That's why the little pulpit verse says these words in some of the churches that you might see it. Pay God a call before you pay him a visit. Because every one of us is going to visit God someday. Every one of us is going to stand before him one day. And if we've never given him a call, if we've never called upon him in all our need and asked him to save us from our sins and cleanse us from the defilement of our iniquity, when we stand before him, we'll be cast out. Before you visit God, friend, give him a call. Cry upon him for salvation and for mercy before it's too late. Because once we've passed over into eternity, my friend, what we have, our reaction to the message of the gospel and to the saving grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ will determine where we're going to be forever. Here was this little girl, and there she is, she's lying cold in death. What could be done for her? Nothing. Nothing humanly, but praise God the Saviour was there. She was just an ordinary little girl. And yet the Lord Jesus comes into that little room and he just takes her by the hand and he says, little maid, I say unto you, arise, arise. And I think the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ in that room was absolutely beautiful. You see, we read about in John chapter 11 that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the tomb of Lazarus and the Lord Jesus looked into that darkened tomb and he cried, Lazarus, come forth. He cried with a loud voice. But he's dealing with a wee girl at 12 and he doesn't shout into the tomb, he just takes her by the hand, little maid, arise. Oh, the tenderness of Christ. Aren't these words of the Lord Jesus Christ so beautiful? When he could say, suffer the little children to come unto me. And forbid them not, for as such are the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ has got a heart for the wee ones tonight. He's got a heart for the wee ones. He's got a heart for every child in the meeting tonight. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, the Lord Jesus cares for you, he loves you, and he wants you to come to him. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Ah, praise God, I was only 9 when I came to the Lord. Just a boy. But I tell you, I was a sinner because we're all sinners. And I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I had a need of the Lord Jesus, and I came to him as a 9-year-old sinner, and he saved me, and he's kept me. Praise his name tonight. The Lord Jesus takes that wee girl with a hand and says, little maid, arise. And just instantaneously, the warmth just came back to her body. And the chest started to heave and the blood started to pulsate. She was alive. Only Christ could do that. It was a miracle. You see, that was 2,000 years ago. The Lord Jesus can't do that tonight, can he? My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is still in the business of making dead people alive. The Lord Jesus Christ is still in the business of imparting life to men and women and young people that are dead. Ordinary people, just like you and I. Because the Bible tells us that men and women are dead. Well, I know that we're all alive physically. There's a wee bit of colour in our cheeks and, you know, there's blood in our veins and, you know, the old heart's still pumping. Ah, we're alive physically, my friend. But we're dead spiritually. We're dead spiritually. We're dead in our sins. You see, death is just separation, isn't it? That's what death is. It's a separation. That's really what happened to all these poor children in that air crash this morning.
to become separated from the love of the Lord. My friend, because of sin, you're separated from God.
We've fallen out of correspondence with God. We're dead in our sins. We're dead in our iniquities and our trespasses. We're dead. That's why you find it difficult to communicate with God. You're trying to pray, haven't you? You found it difficult. You can't get through. And there's times when you've opened the Bible and you've started to read it and you don't understand it. It's all just a mystery. And you don't get anything from it. And there's times you sit in the gospel meetings and you don't understand what's being said. Why? Because you're dead. Dead in sins.
Praise God, the one that imparted life to that ordinary wee girl in the home of Jairus is the one that is able to impart life to you, eternal life, life from heaven, spiritual life through Christ. That's what Paul wrote to these Christians in Ephesus. He says, "In you who were dead, you're being quickened, you're being made alive." It's only the Christians that are living, you know. You maybe think that you've got the best of it. You're thinking about your life tonight and all the things that you get up to and the things that you practice and all the pleasures that you're involved with, and you think you're really living. My friend, I want to tell you, you're dead tonight. You're only existing. And the people that are living life to the full are those that have come to know the Lord Jesus and have received life in Him, abundant life. You see, all the things that you got up to in your life, all the things that you look to for entertainment and for satisfaction and for fulfillment, my friend, they're all temporary, aren't they? And any happiness and any joy that you get, it doesn't last long. But my friend, I want to tell you, the person that has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got a peace and a joy and a happiness, and he's got a reality within his soul, my friend, that's far better than anything the world could ever give. My friend, the Lord Jesus wants to quicken you tonight. He wants to make you alive. The Lord Jesus says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." And my friend, you can be made alive tonight. You can be raised from the dead. You can be quickened in your spirit tonight. And it's through Christ. It's through faith in him. It's believing in him. Would you like to live tonight? I remember speaking to a guy, and he said, "You know," he says, "before I get saved," he says, "I thought I was really living." He says, "You know," he said, "as I gambled and two flies went up the wall," he says, "that was my life." He says, "then I found Christ," and he says, "now I know." I tell you, my friend, life without the Lord Jesus is just existence. It's just a state of spiritual death, but Christ can make you alive to me. My friend, will you believe in him? You're just an ordinary body, just like me. Praise God, the Lord Jesus cares for us. He loves us, and he wants us to let him into our lives, and he'll give us life abundant. A dead girl that was given life. I think of an ordinary man that was healed. He was diseased, and there he was. We read about him in John 5, and he's lying at the pool of Bethesda, and there he is. He's among a host of other people, and he's impotent, and he's just there, and he's weak, and he's powerless. And the Bible tells us that he had nobody to care for him. He had nobody to care for him. I don't know whether there's anybody in the meeting can really relate to that tonight. Maybe there's somebody that can relate to that. Maybe you feel that there's nobody that really cares for you. You see, the Lord Jesus spoke to this man and he says, "Look, would you not like to be made better? Would you not like to have power? Would you not like to have strength? Would you not like to be able to walk?" And he says, "Of course, but I've got nobody. I've got nobody. Nobody understands me, nobody cares for me, nobody takes any interest in me, nobody sits down and talks to me. I've got nobody to unburden my heart to. I've got nobody." Is that you tonight? Nobody. A lot of people out there, and that's just where they are. They've got nobody that really cares for them. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Listen, rise and take up your bed and walk." Just immediately. Power was surged into those powerless legs. Those limbs that were weak
and had been weakened over the years that he'd lain at that pool, they were suddenly given strength. And he was able to take his little mattress under his bed and he was able to walk in the strength and the power of a new life that Christ had imparted to him. He was just an ordinary. In fact, other people would just have walked by him. There was nothing special about him. There was nothing extraordinary. He was just an ordinary person, just one of the common people. And there he was in all his diseased condition. And yet the Lord Jesus met him in his need, and he healed him, and he strengthened him, and he made him anew. Well, my friend, listen, the Bible tells us not only about men and women being dead in their sins, but the Bible tells us about men and women being diseased and wounded. You know, God describes what he sees in Isaiah chapter 1. He really describes the nation of Israel as he saw it in that day. But I'm sure these words could be used to describe what God sees as he looks down into the lives of men and women today. He says the whole head is sick. And the whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's just how God looks in the human race. He sees disease. He sees wounds. He sees sores. You see, the human race has been blighted by a dreadful disease. A great spiritual disease has affected every one of us. It's the great disease of sin. Sin has its consequences, you know. I know the ultimate consequence of sin is death. But sin has consequences in the lives of men and women. It really wounds them. It warps them. It ruins them. My friend, how could we ever describe the awful effects, the ravaging effects that sin has in the lives of men and women and in the society in which we live? My friend, I'm looking at the faces of men and women tonight that need a healing touch from Christ. That need to be made anew. Because sin has wounded them. Sin has bruised them. Sin has battered them. Sin has warped the way they think. The way they speak and the way they act. Everything about a person's life has become tainted by sin. We need the healing touch of Christ. We need his touch to make us anew. And my friend, just as the Lord Jesus was able to deal with the great disease of this man at the pool, he's able to deal with the great disease of sin in the lives of men and women today. He's able to give you strength and power to walk in your life. Well, there's a verse we sung in one of the hymns just before we started the meeting properly. He washed the bleeding sin wounds. He poured in oil and wine. The hymn writer had in mind a little story that we read in Luke chapter 10, a story that was told by the Lord Jesus of a man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves that stripped him and wounded and left him half dead. And that's just a little picture of the sinner, isn't it? That's just a little picture of the effects of sin and the effects of the work of Satan in the lives of men and women, stripping them, wounding them and leaving them. There was that man just lying there, totally powerless, with the strength that he had just ebbing away from him. And there he was in total desperation. He was broken. He was bruised. He'd been battered by that enemy. And he was without hope until the Samaritan came. And the Samaritan take out of his little bag that wine that would cleanse away the infections from his wounds. He took that oil and poured it in order that he might be soothed, in order that his wounds might be healed. Oh, my friend, listen. Sin has made its effect, made its mark in your life. Sin has made its deep wound in your heart, in your very character, in your very nature. It's all affected by sin. But praise the Lord Jesus, the Good Samaritan. He wants to wash away all the defilement. He wants to pour in that oil, the oil of his Holy Spirit, that you might be comforted, that you might be soothed, that you might be made anew. Oh, my friend, I only tell you, the Lord Jesus is still performing miracles today. Not only does he impart life to those that are dead in sins, but he imparts healing to those whose lives have become wounded and marred and broken.
We mentioned too that he was able to give cleansing to a defiled leper. We read about him in Mark chapter 1 as well, way back at the beginning of the meeting. That man that had to go round about the countryside saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. There he was, defiled by sin, defiled by leprosy. He comes to the Lord Jesus and he says, if thou wilt, if thou wilt. He was just an ordinary person. He was just one of the common people, just like you and I. And yet he was conscious of a deep need, and that deep need brought him to the Saviour. And he says, if thou wilt, if you will, you can make me clean. That was faith, wasn't it? I wonder if you're faith like that. This man was conscious of his need, and he was conscious, and he believed that Christ could meet his need. He says, if you will. Lord, he says, the only thing, he says, I believe that you can. Will you? That's faith, isn't it? I wonder if you're prepared to come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, just as you are in all of your need, and just believe that whatever your need is, that Christ can meet it. And the Lord Jesus says, I will be your clean, and just immediately, all the defilement and the uncleanness of his disease was gone just in a split second. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Are you conscious tonight that you're defiled, that you're unclean? That your whole life, my friend, has just become dirty as a result of sin? My friend, the Lord Jesus can cleanse you tonight. He can make you pure tonight. He can make you righteous. And it's through the blood that he shed upon the cross at Calvary. We know this too about a distressed man that experienced peace. Just an ordinary man. Just one of the common people of his day, and he'd become possessed of demons. We read about it in Mark 5 a few weeks ago. And there he was living in the tombs, and he was cutting himself with stones, and he just was totally and utterly distressed and depressed and violent and anxious and concerned, and he run here, there and everywhere, and he could get no peace until the Saviour came. The Bible says that after just a little interview with Christ, he was sitting clothed in his room. All the agitation was away. All the anxiety was away. All the restlessness was away. All the distress was away. He had peace. You're here tonight and you're distressed. You're anxious and you're agitated. And every day you're just chasing your tail. And every day is just one round of oppression and distress and agitation, and you hardly know what to do with your life, and you hardly know what to do with your time. My friend, the Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus, to those that trust Him, He gives peace. A peace that passes understanding. And He's made that peace available to you tonight through the blood of His cross. My friend, the Lord Jesus paid a price. He shed His precious blood. He gave His life on the cross in order that they might impart peace abundant. Peace in all its fullness, peace in all its joyous reality to all those that will come to Him, and all the distress and trust Him. My friend, take away the front of it. Just be honest. Be honest with God. You don't need to be honest with a preacher, but you need to be honest with God. You need to be honest with Christ. Are you conscious that you're just existing? Are you conscious tonight that you're defiled by sin? Are you conscious tonight, my friend, that you've been defeated and you're diseased and you're distressed? My friend, just be honest and come as you are. And the Lord Jesus Christ is prepared to meet your need if you'll just come to Him in simple trusting faith. Just before I sat down, I noticed in John chapter 5 there was a woman that she was despised, and she found Christ to be a friend. The reason she was despised was really because of the lifestyle that she lived. She was an immoral woman. The big problem in her life was men. She had 5 husbands, and the man that she was living with wasn't her husband. And such was her reputation in the town that nobody wanted anything to do with her, and she was ashamed of her behaviour and her character. And discovered that when she came to draw water at the well just outside the village, she came when there was nobody else there. while everybody else was having a little siesta, she was there drawing water at the well because nobody wanted to speak to her. But she didn't want to speak to anybody because of the lifestyle that she had. Five husbands, eh? And the man she living with wasn't your husband. That's common, isn't it? The Bible's up to date, isn't it? And even the disciples of the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus sat at that well, because the Lord Jesus wanted to be a friend. Society was shunning her. Her friends, her family had shunned her. And all the men that she'd had, they'd all shunned her. But praise God, the Lord Jesus wouldn't shun her. And the Lord Jesus sat waiting at the well for her to come in all her desperate need and all the immorality of her life. And all the promiscuity of her behaviour. The Lord Jesus sat there waiting. And the disciples looked at him and said, what's he doing speaking to a woman like that? My friend, I don't care what lifestyle you've had tonight. I don't care what other people think about you, what they call you. I want to tell you, Christ is interested in you. Christ cares for you. Christ loves you just the way you are in all your sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ sat there and he revealed to her all her past. And she says, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Why did the Lord Jesus tell her about her past? Just to bring out a confession. And on the basis of that confession, that he may impart forgiveness. My friend, that's why we're straight in the preaching night after night. Because the word of God is straight. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God gets right home to the conscience. And why does God prick our conscience? Why does God expose our sin? Just so that we might confess it. And so that he might cleanse it. So that he might forgive it. My friend, I'm asking you tonight just to be honest. Just to be honest with God. I know there's none of us here who get anything to be proud of, have we? And I don't think there's anyone here would stand in any high religious ground or any high self-righteous ground. I don't think there's any of us here like that. We're just the ordinary people. We haven't come to criticise. We haven't come to condemn. We're here because we're interested. My friend, I wonder tonight, are you going to listen to God's word? And allow God's word really to expose your sin. Just to open up to you your desperate need. That you're dead, you're defiled. You're defeated, you're diseased. You're maybe even despised. But just bring that to the Lord. And just tell the Lord your need tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ is prepared to meet it. He's prepared to give you life. He's prepared to give you healing. He's prepared to give you cleansing. He's prepared to give you peace. He's prepared to make you his friend. He's prepared, my friend, to be to you what no one else in the world can ever be to you. He's prepared to be your Saviour. He's prepared to be your Lord. The days of miracles are not past you. The days of miracles are right now. And in this little meeting, the Lord Jesus Christ is available to perform a miracle in your life. The miracle of quickening you, making you alive to God. The miracle of cleansing you. The miracle of saving you. The miracle of imparting peace to you. The miracle of being your friend and your Saviour. The Lord Jesus will do that miracle in your life if you're prepared just to come in. Trust him. That's all he's asking you to do. He's just asking you to trust him. Don't doubt him. Just trust him. Gracious God and Father, we just pray that they would just keep in this hall tonight just that quietness that we've experienced in these last few moments, just a sense of thy presence. We know, our God, the devil will do all he can just to take that away, just to disrupt, and just, O God, to snatch away the good seed of thy word. But we're praying, O God, that the Holy Spirit would continue to hover over this gathering and really take dealings, take deep, deep dealings with those that are unsafe tonight. And, O God, we pray that they would be so challenged and so convicted by the Spirit that they would find it impossible to leave their seat tonight until they get right with thyself, until they come into the fullness of the blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to impart those that put their faith and trust in him. So, our God, for thy glory, for the honour of thy precious Son, may it please thee, O God, to save every lost soul in the meeting tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we'll just take time just to sing a verse of the hymn again. And we'll just sing two verses. The last two verses of 268, 268. We'll sing the last two verses. I'm tired of sin and strain, Lord. Now I'm coming home, I'll trust thy love. Believe thy word, Lord. I'm coming home, my soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home, my strength renewed, my hope restored. Lord, I'm coming home. So it's 268, and we'll just sing verses 3 and 4, remaining seated, and after we'll sing these verses, the meeting is entirely over, and we just thank you again for coming tonight.